Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Lamed Hey. I believe Michal said we left off on the bottom of Lamed Dalet and Beis at the two dots Amar Rav Chananel. So that's where we are holding today's shiur, sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and leading this was his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Allah Shalom, Shama, Shrev, and Aliyah. So what we're going to discuss today is we're continuing to discuss the dinim of Tefillin, and the Gemara is going to discuss what if the parshios of Tefillin are put in the batim, in the wrong order. Then we're going to discuss different parts of the tefillin, the titura and the ma'abarta and the shin of the tefillin, and we're going to discuss the din that the various dinim of tefillin that are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, such as the blackness of the ritzuos, the squareness of the tefillin, and then what else do we have on today's daf? The Gemara is going to discuss what happens if a ritzua gets snapped in the tefillin, and what you do with the broken pieces, the gardume ritzuos, and the Gemara is then going to talk a little bit about the kesher shel tefillin as well, and that's going to get us into a little bit of agadata, not much, and then the Gemara is going to bring the various statements of Amoraim about the brachos of the mitzvah of tefillin. We'll probably won't get to that today, actually. We'll probably save that for tomorrow, but let's begin again at the two dots on the bottom Lam Dalet and Beis. I thank Michal for giving the shiur over Shabbos while I was giving it. I didn't take the day off. I was giving it in Bergenfield. But today, let's begin at the two dots. Amrav Chananel Amrav Hichlif Parshios Seha. If you switch around the Parshios and you put them not in the Seder that they're written in the Torah, we're assuming like Shittas Rashi, Psulos, then they are Pasul. The question is whether that's a Psul Mida Oraisa or a Psul Mida Rabbanan. That is a machlokas in the achronim, but it's a psul of some sort. So Amar Abaye lo Amaran, we only say that they're pasul ela gav yasa liver yasa. When you switch an inner parsha and you make it an outer parsha, ubar yasa gav yasa, and you take that which is an outer parsha and you make it an inner parsha. So again, l'shitas Rashi, that would mean that you take the parsha of Ahayu Kiviyacha in the tefillin and you put it before Kaddishli, or you put Vayim Shemoa before the parsha of Shema, which is making the Panimus Chitzona and the Chitzona into a Panimus. The Chidushim HaMiuchasim, the Rashba, says, I don't understand. Gavyasa LeBriyasa and Baryasa LeGavyasa are the same situation, because if you switch an inner one to become an outer one, so Mimela, the outer one has become the inner one, right? Meaning that's the way it automatically works. So why does Abayi have to say it twice, right? But when you say Gavyasa LeBaryasa, obviously the Baryasa became the Gavyasa. So he says, based on the Girsa in Rashi of Gavyasa LeBriyasa, Pirush HaKasa V'Hayi Kiviyachol Kodem LeKadesh, where the Pnimus became the Chatzona, or Inami Hiktim Vayim Shema LeShema, where the Chitzona becomes the Pnimus and the Pnimus becomes the Chitzona. So Abaye talks about the switching the Seder Parshios, like the Seder that they're written, and that's why he says Gavyasa LeBriyasa, that you wrote that meaning he's talking about how you wrote the Parshios, that you wrote Vayi Kiviyacha before Kadesh, and he calls that Gavyasa LeBriyasa, because when you begin to write at the beginning Vayi Kiviyacha, it has to be more inside, and then you wrote Kadesh, which has to be more outside. And then Abaye talks about a case where you wrote Vayim Shema before Shema, and he calls that Baryasa LeGavyasa, because if it's all about the Ksiva and not about the placement of the Parshios, so then it's about where you're starting to write on the parchment, so that you're placing the Parshios in such a way where ultimately it's going to yield the same Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, it's going to yield the same, let's say by the Shaliyad, it's going to yield the same four Parshios in the same order, but you're writing them out of order, right? That's what Rashi understands, that we're not talking about the placement of the Parshios. Rashi says that we're talking about writing of the Parshios. The Bach in Os Aleph is Magia in that Girsin Rashi, and says, no, Shenasan, that the Nidon in the Gemara is about the placement of the Parshios and not the writing of the Parshios. But if you learn that it's about the writing of the Parshios, that would explain why you need to say both Gavyasa LeBriyasa and Briyasa LeGavyasa. But anyway, let's assume it's talking about the placement of the Parshios. Aval Gavyasa LeGavyasa, if you exchange an inner Parsha with an inner Parsha, for example, you put the Parsha Shema before Vahayi Kiviyacha, Ubaryasa LeBriyasa, or you switch one of the outer Parshios with the other one of the outer Parshios like you put the parsha of Vayim Shema on the left of the Maniach and the parsha of Kadeshli on the right of the Maniach, so then Leslan Ba, then you don't have to be Choshesh, that is not going to be a problem. Again, all examples are Lashitas Rashi in terms of the order of the parshios. Amale Rava, so Rava says to Abaye, Maishna Gavyasa Lebrayasa Barasa Gavyasa Dilo, why is it that when you switch an inner one for an outer one or an outer one for an inner one, that you're not Yotze your Chiyuv? It's because the Hach the Bay Lemichzi Avira Lo Kachazia, that the parsha that's supposed to be exposed to the Avir, to the air, to the outside world, meaning that it needs to be on the outside, is now not exposed to the outside world. Vahadalo Kabay Lemichzi Avira Kachazia, and the parsha that's not supposed to be exposed to the outside world, meaning the one that's supposed to be tucked away inside, is now on the outside and is now exposed. Well, shouldn't you have a very similar problem if you flip around the two inner parshios or you flip the two outer parshios? Because that the one that's supposed to be exposed to the air on the right side is exposed to the air on the left side, the small kachazia avira diyamin, and the one that's supposed to be exposed to the air on the left side is instead exposed to the one on the right side. So must be that there is no difference, says Rava Ta'abaye, that you're incorrect in making this distinction between switching Gavyasa LeBaryasa, Baryasa LeGavyasa versus Gavyasa LeGavyasa and Baryasa LeBaryasa. That there is no difference whether which partios you switch with which, and whichever way you did it, the partios Shaloka Sidron are going to make the tefillin puzzle. So it's going to be puzzle regardless. So okay, so that's as far as switching around the partios, and we paskin, this is not one of the Al-Kigam, so Machlokas Abaye and Rava, we're going to paskin like Rava, you're not allowed to switch around the partials if you do your tefillin or pasul. Again, are they pasul midaraisa, are they pasul midrabanan? A discussion in the Achronim. So now the Gemara tells us, other dinim of tefillin, v'amarav chananel amarav, titura de tefillin, halach l'moshe misinai. So we're going to go through a list of a variety of dinim in tefillin that are halach l'moshe misinai. The titura of the tefillin, which is, you know, when you open up the tefillin to put the partials in, so the bottom piece, it opens up like a mouth, right? So the bottom jaw, so to speak, of the tefillin, which is all made out of the same piece of R, it's all made out of the same piece of leather. It's just that after they shape it in such a way where there's a piece of leather that protrudes on one end, and then they fold it over, and that becomes the titura. So the titura of the tefillin, that you have to make the tefillin in such a way that's a requirement in terms of the production of the tefillin. That's halacha l'moshe misinai. Amar Abaye, ma'abarta de tefillin, the place where the or of the tefillin is grooved a little bit so that you're able to stick in the ritzua through the tefillin is halacha l'moshe misinai. That the fact that you have to make tefillin in such a way with a ma'abarta that the ritzua can stick through is also a halacha l'moshe misinai. Va'amar Abaye, shin shel tefillin, halacha l'moshe misinai. The shin that's on the shel rosh that you make on the two sides of the batim by folding, and the or is also halacha l'moshe misinai, and then you have machlokas the Gemara initially says Abaye says that you have to have the charitz of the bias, that's the groove between each bias of the tefillin has to reach all the way down to the stitching on the bottom of the bias, but Rav Dimi Meredar says no, that's not necessary. Since the charitz is nikar milamaila, it's somewhat recognizable at the top, so you see where the batim are separated from one another, so then you don't need to have it reach all the way down to the titura. Now the reason we dafka make the letter shin on the tefillin, Beis Yosef writes, in the name of the Orchos Chaim, is to be merames on the number of days during a regular year where a person puts on tefillin, that there are 300 days of the year where a person puts on tefillin. So and then he quotes from the re-achzandri, that the Shem Havaya in Adbash is Shin, because it's Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi, that the Yud corresponds to a Mem, the Hey corresponds to a Tzadi, the Vav corresponds to a Pei, and the Hey corresponds to a Tzadi in Adbash. So that's a gematria of 300. So that's where we have Shin, because it's a Shem Havaya, that it actually represents the Shem Hashem on the Tefillin. This is what the Beis Yosef quotes. So this is not like some Rebbe Shavart, right? The Beis Yosef quotes these two possibilities of why it is that we dafka have a shin on the tefillin. Now, we've already pointed out that the kedusha of the tefillin shel rosh is greater than the tefillin shel yad because of that shin and the dalet in the back, as opposed to the tefillin shel yad, which only has the yud. Meaning, the kedusha of the tefillin is the kedusha of anything. Rav Shachter often likes to quote from Rav Chaim Volozhiner that the kedusha of anything, or let's put it this way, the difference between tashmishei kedusha and tashmishei mitzvah, let's say you have a lulav or tzitzis, as halach of tashmishei mitzvah, la'achar zman mitzvah son, the Gemara Megillah says, nizrakin, you could throw it out. You throw it out in a respectful way, but you don't have to put it into geniza. Whereas tashmishei kedusha, things that are matters and items of kedusha, the halach like a batim of tefillin and a mantle of a sefer Torah and things like that, that's nignazim that they have to be put into Sheamus. You're not allowed to just throw them out. So what distinguishes between Tashmishei Kedusha versus Tashmishei Mitzvah? So Chaim Veloshner writes that Tashmishei Kedusha are things that have an association with Ksav Shel Torah. They're things that are used for a mitzvah but have no Ksav Shel Torah. A lulav has no Ksav Shel Torah on it. Tzitzis has no Ksav Shel Torah. But Tefillin has actual Parshios. Mezuzah has actual Parshios. So anything that has association with Ksav Shel Torah is going to be Tashmishei Kedusha. But it's more than that. That which has more Ksav Shel Torah than something else has a greater level of Tashmishei, of Kedusha. That even within the world of Tashmishei Kedusha, that which has a greater connection or has more Ksav Shel Torah, so a Sefer Torah is more Kadosh than Tefillin. Tefillin in turn is more Kadosh than a mezuzah. So it's unbelievable. Why is Tefillin Shel Rosh more Kadosh than Tefillin Shel Yad? Just one extra letter. It's got the Shin and the Dal. I mean, they have all the four parshas of the same, but that one extra letter. That's what the Gemara says, that the Gemara says you're not supposed to lift up your hands above your tefillin, kal v'chomer mitzitz, that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to lift up his hands over the tzitz, and the tzitz had ksav of kedusha on it. It said kodesh la'ashem. So it's a kal v'chomer mitzitz. What's kal v'chomer mitzitz? That tefillin are holier than the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. I would think, if I was thinking about the holiest things in the world, I don't know, I would imagine that probably the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol is the holiest thing in the world. But no, tefillin is more ksav shel Torah. So anything that has more Ksav Shel Torah, Mimela has more Kedusha. This is Machlokas Rishonim, whether Beis HaKnesses has a din of Tashmishei Kedusha or Tashmishei Mitzvah. So some of the Rishonim say, Beis HaKnesses, Tashmishei Mitzvah, because it's a makom where you daven. So it's a place of tefillah, that's a mitzvah. So it has a din of Tashmishei Mitzvah. But other Rishonim, the Yireim and the Chayadim, thinks we pass in this way, says that Beis HaKnesses has a din of Tashmishei Kedusha. How could it have a din of Tashmishei Kedusha? Where's the Ksav Shel Torah? So you have to say, Rav Salvechik pointed out, that a Beis HaKnesses, a feature of a Beis HaKnesses, is that there's a makom to place a Torah in that Beis HaKnesses. There's a makom to keep the Torah in the Beis HaKnesses. As Rav Shachter often likes to point out, that to have the fullest Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, the Aron needs to be in the room, right? In order to have full, because it has to have a place where you keep a Sefer Torah. And so Rav Shachter is not in favor of people when they construct the Beis HaKnesses, and to make the wall look nice and smooth in the front, they recess the Aron like sort of outside, you know, where the wall is smooth in the front, and the Aron is boxed out outside of the actual room, because it's the full Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is when the Aron is in the room. That's where the Kedusha emerges from. That's what he explains, that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yoma, the Gemara says that in the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But where was it? So there were two opinions, whether it was Nignaz on premises or it was taken away somewhere else. And the Rambam paskins on that. The Rambam says, oh, it was Nignaz on premises. So they just said, what are you paskining? What are you paskining that it was Nignaz on premises, meaning it's a historical question. So what do you mean? So it must be that there's enough kamina la halacha that he thought that you can only have kedusha samigdash. Something can only have kedusha when you have the aron there, when it's actually present. If it's not there, then there's nowhere for the kedusha to emanate from. That it always has to come from ksav shel Torah. I'm supposed to speak later in yeshiva about something from Rav Soloveitchik, so that just helped me prepare. So thank you. So that relates to the tefillin. So anyway, the shin on the tefillin is Halach al Moshe Misinai. The Tosos writes in the name of the Shimusha Rabbah that the shin on the right side of the tefillin should be a regular shin with three arms to it, and on the left side of the tefillin it's got four arms to it. But it's not ma'akev, and if you switch it around and you make the four-armed one on the right side and the three-armed one on the left side, the tefillin are going to be kosher. So the Rosh and the Mordechai say that the Shemush Rabbah means the yamin and the small of the maniach, of the person putting on the tefillin. But Rabbeinu Yohonasan says that on the right side they do four Roshim and on the left side they do three arms to the shin. So the Beis Yosef writes that you have to say that he means yamin and the small of the kore, which is the opposite, obviously, of the yamin and the small of the maniach, and therefore there is no machlokas. Then the Beis Yosef quotes in the name of the Magia in the Smag that the reason they make a shin with four arms to it is because the ksav shal gabe aluchos was a ksav that was engraved where the osios were made out of the avir, and therefore the shin that was on the luchos had four parts to it, and three empty spaces, there had to be four sort of like walls to the shin. So connected that they make one shin with four rushim and one with three to indicate the airspace and the space around the airspace that appeared on the luchos, because the luchos were b'nei sayom, right? The mem and the samach shav luchos b'nei sayom did. It was air. It was all the way through. It was engraved all the way through. When it says that Rosh Hashanah points out that when it says that you could read it from both sides, it doesn't mean that you can actually read it from both sides. Meaning it was backwards on one side, but the point is that it was air that went all the way through. So that's what the shin perhaps represents. Vam Rabaye, hay kilpa de tefillin, the cloth that you write the parshas de tefillin on, tzarech lemivdike de dilma ispe reyusa. You have to check it before you write it, because it could be that there's a hole in it or there's some other problem with it. Ubeinu ksivatama, and the ksav has to be a ksivatama, it has to be a complete writing. So if the writing is broken up by a hole, because there's a hole in the parchment, that's problematic. Veleta, you're not going to, if you write over such a parchment, it's going to be a lack of ksivatama, and that's going to be problematic. And the Bach points out that even though the dio and the kulmus goes right over it, and you don't even sense it, it's such a tiny hole, anytime there's a nekev, it's going to be problematic anyway. Rav Diminar da Amar lo tzarech kulmusa badukla. He says, no, you don't need to examine it. When you're mavir kulmus, when you're writing it, you'll see right away whether there's a hole in it. Meaning, if the hole is sizable enough that it's noticeable when you go over it with the quill, then it's a problem. And if it's not sizable enough to even notice it, and it goes right over, and the ink fills in the blank because the blank space is so tiny, so then it's not going to be a problem at all. Amar Rav Yitzchak, ritzuos shchoros. The idea that you have to have black ritzuos on your tefillin, halach al Moshe Misinai. The source of that is also a halach al Moshe Misinai. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Lamed Gimel quotes from the Sefer Baruch Sha'amar that the mitzvah to be mashkir is until they're black like a raven. It can't just be blackish. It has to be very, very black, the ritzuos of the tefillin. And the Bir Halacha quotes that you should blacken it once, and then when it dries, put another coating of black, and then when it dries, a third coating of black until it's mamish ka'orev. And the Bir Halacha says that's the mitzvah bi'alma, but midina, as long as it's a shem shachar, that's good enough. Meaning, what is black? Someone will look at it and say, that's black, right? Meaning, that's how we determine color. There could be 100 shades of any given color. So me'ikar adin, black is just anything that you would look at and you would call black. But we were mahader to try to make it as black as it possibly can be. Now Tosfos writes that there are those that make the batim themselves from or lovan, from white leather, because they hold that the din of shchor Chavros is only on the Ritzuos, it's not on the Batim. Meaning, it's interesting, there is no Gemara that tells us that the Batim have to be black. Meaning, we would probably think the Batim are a more critical part of the Tefillin, and therefore, if the Ritzuos have to be black, for sure the Batim have to be black. There's no Gemara that says the Batim have to be black. The Gemara says that the Ritzuos have to be black. So the Rosh writes that it's Noi HaTefillin that everything should be black. So it's a Hidur, meaning Halach L'Moshe Misinai, Ritzuos must be black. But the Batim, it's a Hidur that the Batim should be black. And that's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillin, that even though Halach L'Moshe Misinai, there's only a din on the Ritzuos to be black, but nevertheless, it's Noi for the Tefillin that every part of it should be black. However, the Mordechai quotes in the name of the Ri that even the tefillin themselves, meaning even the ketzitza and the batim, have to be black like the ritzuos, and that's what the Bach writes as well, that the tefillin themselves need to be black. In Shulchan Aruch we paskin mitzvah to make the batim shchorim, but it's not ma'akev. So if a person has a batim that are white or batim that are his favorite color, whatever his favorite color may be, that those are not pasul tefillin, as much as you would think they would be, those are not pasul tefillin. But if the ritzuos are not black, those are pasul tefillin. So meisvei, so the Gemara challenges, tefillin ain koshen osan ela b'minan, the tefillin can only be written with the min of the batim and the parshios, meaning the ritzuos have to be made out of leather, they cannot be made out of some sort of synthetic material or any other kind of material, it has to be made out of leather, and the ritzuos have to be bein yirokos, bein shchoros, bein levanos, whatever color, meaning green or black or white, but adumos l'yasa, the only color that's off limits for the Ritzuos is that they cannot be red, mipnei genai, because that's going to be a genai. What's the genai? That people are going to say that you're using it as like bandaging on your wounds, and that's how the Ritzuos became red, from the blood that from whatever injuries you have. V'davar acher, and also people are going to say that a person was boel his ishto when she was a nida, and the Ritzuos became red from the dam nida while he was boel her when she was a nida. That's the davar acher. I don't know why people would assume that about a person, but that's apparently the concern when they see that the tefillin are red. So the ritzuos absolutely cannot be red. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'aseh b'talmido shel Rabbi Akiva, sheyakosher tefilav b'lashon shel tcheles, that he tied his tefillin using wool that was dyed tcheles, that was dyed with the royal blue dye. V'lo Amar lo davar, and Rabbi Akiva didn't criticize him at all. So efshar otzo tzadik ra talmido v'lo michabo. Is that possible that this tzadik Rabbi Akiva saw his talmid tying his tefillin with wool that's dyed with tcheles, and he didn't make a macha on such a thing? So Amar lo, hein, lo ra'o, so that Rabbi Akiva must have not seen him do it, and imro, so lo yaminicho, and if he would have seen it, he wouldn't have let him do that. Maisa b'Horkanus b'noshal Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus, and one time Horkanus, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus, is yet another maramakom, as Shas is full of them, that you name after a family member, right? That's naming a child, so as much as we say Zecher Tzadik Levracha, so it's good to name after a Tzadik, but the minhag was that they always named after a family member. Maybe when they ran out of family members to name after, then they started naming after Tzadikim. But anyway, so there's a story with Horkanus, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus, Sheyakosher Tfilin B'Lashono Shel Argaman, that he was tying his tefillin with Lashono Shel Argaman, with wool that was dyed purple, V'lo Amar Lo Davar, and Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus did not correct his son Horkanus for doing that. So Efshar also Tzadik Rab Beno V'lo Michabo, could it be that this Tzadik Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus saw his son do such an odd thing using wool that's dyed purple to tie his tefillin instead of regular ritzuos, and he didn't make a macha on such a thing? So Amar Lo, Hein Lo Ra'o, so Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus obviously didn't see it, V'im Ra'o, so Lo Yamanicho, and that he's seen such a thing, there's no way he would allow him to do that. But Katani Mia, the bottom line that we're getting from this Brisa, though, that we're trying to ask from is over here, is that we said that you're allowed to make the ritzuos of the tefillin Bein Yerukos, Bein Shchor, Bein Levanos, that it doesn't have to be black. It could be whatever yarok is, yellow or green, whatever. The Gemara assumes that yarok kikarti means green, that yarok means like a yellowish color or some other shade in between green and brown or something like that. But it's but it it doesn't have to be black. So how can you say that Ritzus and Tefillin Salachal Moshe Messina that they have to be black? So it says Marlo Kasha. Kan bifnim, kan mi b'chutz. When the Brisa says that they could be other colors, that's the inside of the Ritzuos that's not facing the outside. It's on the skin, the part that goes on a direct contact with the skin. That could be other colors. The Rambam writes that it's a noy for Tefillin that the Ritzuos should be kula shchora. And the Beis Yosef explains that he means the tzad pnim of the ritzua, but the Beis Yosef says, but that's not the minhag. So nowadays, it's becoming kind of the minhag. There are a lot of ritzuas that they sell that are black on the inside and black on the outside. So they taina, well, why not? Meaning, if there's such a problem when a ritzua flips because now the black is not exposed to the outside, and therefore you got to be so careful, why not just make it black on both sides? There's definitely no psul of making it black on both sides. We said that on the pnim, the Gemara says, the Brisa says, bein yirokos, bein shcharos, bein levados. So there's obviously no problem in making it black. Wherever it could be white, it could be black. So it's clear that it's not a problem. So why not? Why not do it? And the answer is because your grandfather didn't do it and his grandfather didn't do it. Meaning because the Beis Yosef says, because the minhag was not like that. So is there a psul? There's no psul whatsoever. Is there a problem? I don't know. You'd be hard pressed to find a problem. So there are those that say, no, the only reason they didn't make it black is they couldn't figure out how to make tefillin in such a way where it's going to be black on both sides. Not so hard to figure out, so it's hard to imagine that was the problem. No, that wasn't the minhag for whatever reason. Okay, anyway, and kan mi b'chutz, when Rabbi Yitzchak says that they must be black, that's the part of the ritzuos that face the outside. So imi b'fnim, so says Mar, wait a second, if the Brais is talking about the inner part of the ritzuos, why can't you make them red? My genai v'dover acher. Why is that a genai that people are going to say you're wrapping your wounds, or that a guy is being boel ishtonida, whatever crazy chashash they're gonna have in such a person, if no one sees that it's red, because it's directly against your skin, they're only gonna see the black part anyway. So no, because sometimes ritzuos get flipped over and you can see it, so someone's gonna get a peek of your ritzuos in such a way, and they're gonna then have their chashashos. But if it's lovin or yarok, then you don't have to be choshesh that people are gonna say such things. Because there's nothing to say if it's Lavan or Yarub. Okay, Tana, Tefillin Merubaos Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Another din of Tefillin Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai is that the batim need to be squared. So I'm Rav Papa, Betifrad, in the stitching, when you stitch the titura, you have to be careful that the stitching is not rectangular, that it's a perfect square. Uba alachsonan, and the ribua has to be the same length and width, meaning that it has to be a perfect square, that the length of the tefillin should be exactly the same as the width of the tefillin, to the point that the diagonal of the tefillin will fit the equation of what a diagonal should be on a perfect square. A squared plus B squared equals C squared, or what the Gemara assumes, that it's two-fifths bigger than the sides, right? The Gemara assumes that if a side is 1, then the diagonal of a square is 1, then the diagonal is going to be 1.4. Okay, so whatever equation you use. Now, 1.4 is not exactly A squared plus B squared equals C squared. It doesn't, it's close, very close, but it's not exactly the same. So whenever you have these halachos of measurements that aren't mathematically 100% precise, so that's a way of saying that that as far as the eye can tell, it's close enough, meaning that we don't have to measure things on a microscopic level, that you get it close enough that the halacha allows for that margin of error, that if it measures one inch, for each 1 inch that it measures on the side of the square would be 1.4 inches in the diagonal, and that's assumed to be a perfect square. So maybe our Mishnah is a raya to the Braisa, that it says in the Mishnah Megillah, ha'osa tefilas va'agula, that if a person makes the titura of the tefillin round like an egg, so sakana, it's a sakana that it's going to harm him when he puts it on his head, the tefillin are going to pierce through his brain in some way, vein b'mitzvah, and it's not a mitzvah, because Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is that the tefillin need to be merubaos. Amar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa says, nah, that's not a raya to our braisa from that Mishnah. Masnisin da avida ki amguza. The Mishnah is talking about where you make the tefillin like an egos, that the place where the titura is very sharp, and therefore there's a chash sakana that it's going to pierce through the person's head. But if you make it round, in a way that it's not it's not gonna, it doesn't come to a pointy end. So that's not covered in that Mishnah. That the Braisa is being mechadesh, that it has to be square, it cannot be round in any way. Amar Rav Huna, tefillin kol zman she pnei tavla kayemes. So long as the or of the batim is complete above, even though there's a tear between the batim, ksheiros, they're going to be kosher. Rav Chisda Amar nifsaku, if they're torn, shtayim, two walls of the batim, ksheiros, they're still going to be kosher. But shalosh, if three of the walls of the three batim are torn, psulos, then they're going to be pasul. Amar Rava, hada amrit, shtayim ksheiros, that which we say that if two of the tefanos of the tefillin are torn, that it's going to be kosher. Lo amron ella zeh shelo keneged zeh. That's only if they tear, not directly one across the other. And the aval zeh keneged zeh. But if the two batim that are adjacent to one another both tear, then psulos. Then they're going to be pasul. There are a lot of ways to understand this line of Gemara. I went with the first interpretation of Rashi in how to read this line of the Gemara. Zeh keneged zeh nami. And even when the two batim are torn, one right next to the other, the two adjacent batim, that we say that they're pasul, lo amaron ela bechadasa. That's only that they're only going to be pasul if it's new tefillin, where obviously there's a problem with this hide, with this leather. Aval ba'atikasa, but with the older tefillin, leslan ba, then you don't have to worry about it. The amar le'abai l'Rav Yosef, hechi damin chadasa vehechi damin atikasa. When is tefillin considered new and when is it considered old? So amar le'abai Rav Yosef said kol hecha ki mitli be bishilcha v'hadar chalim atikasa v'idach chadatasa, that where if you grab the R and you stretch it and then you put the and then you let it go, it's gonna retract. So that's old tefillin, that if you pull it out it's stretchy and then it goes back to it, it doesn't stay stretched out, it then shrivels. That's atikasa. Whereas in the opposite, if you grab the R and you stretch it out and then you let it go, it's not going to shrivel back to its original size. So that's chadatasa. That's how we determine that it's considered new. V'inami, or another way to distinguish the difference between new and old, anytime if you were to grab the ritzua that's hanging from the tefillin, asya abasrei, the tefillin themselves go with the ritzua, meaning the tefillin go together with the ritzua, and they're not going to snap from the ritzua, so that's chadatasa. That's new enough. V'idach, but if it's the opposite, if you grab the ritzua and the tefillin themselves are not going to come along for the ride when you hold it by the ritzua, the whole thing is just going to snap right off, that's atikasa. That's considered very old. So, okay. So that's, again, every line we just read in the last 5 minutes, there are like 3, 4, 5 different interpretations of Rishonim of how to read the line. We just went with the simplest reading. Okay. Abaye have a Yosef kamed Rav Yosef. Abaye was sitting in front of Rav Yosef. Ifsikle ritzua de tfili. And his ritzua snapped. So amalei, Rav Yosef said, Rabbi said to Rav Yosef, he asked Rav Yosef a shayla, ma'al l'miktere, what's the din? Am I allowed to tie them back up so the tefillin will be kosher? So amalei, ukshartim ksiv, shetek shiratama. You're supposed to have a nice knot on the tefillin. But if there's an additional knot on the ritzuos to hold the ritzuos together, that's not a nice knot. That's not a kshiratama. So amalei, ravacha bereid Rav Yosef, the ravashi, ma'al l'miktere va'aylu l'tfira l'gav. Are you allowed to stitch up the ritzua that's torn up and have the protrusion of the stitching on the inside, so it's not going to be evident from the outside? So is that considered to be a kshiratama, where it's still going to look nice? So he said, why don't you go see what people do, and you'll see that people don't do that. When the ritzua snaps, they get a new ritzua. They don't stitch it up. So therefore, you follow the minhaga olam. You follow whatever people do. That's how Rashi understands. I mean, the Gemara never says that. The Gemara just says, go see what people do. The Gemara never tells us what people actually do. So Rashi says, yeah, I've never seen it. So it must be that people don't do that. Tosos quotes in Nimra Ben Otam, Puchazi Mayim Advar is Lakula, that you're allowed to stitch the Ritzua, the torn Ritzua, and as long as the stitching is on the inside, just like in other places in Shas where we say Puchazi Mayim Advar, and it's always a Kula. We always say, you're nervous about whether this is an appropriate appropriate behavior or an inappropriate behavior, go see that. That's what people do. So the Rush writes, the whole nidon is only when the ritzua that goes around the rosh or the arm snaps. But the ritzua that hangs down from the rosh or from the arm is for sure mutter to stitch up, because there's no din of kshira tama, because you don't have a kshira on that part of the ritzua. So that's an additional chiddush. Amar Rav Papa, gardume ritzuos, the leftover cuts of ritzuos. I mean, if the ritzuos of the tefillin got cut and it was and the tefillin are still kosher, but now you have these cut pieces, so ksheros, whatever is left, as long as there's still something left hanging down from the tefillin, so the tefillin are still kosher. V'lav milsi mida amri b'nei Rabbi Chia, gardume tcheles, the leftover chutim of tcheles of tzitzis that have been cut, gardume ezov, or the leftover pieces of the ezov which they use to sprinkle the efer paraduma, the mechatos, on someone's tamei meis, if the ezov itself gets cut down, ksherin, those are kosher, but they didn't say that gardume ritzuos are ksheros. So says Marano Hasam, when it comes to the gardume tcheles and the gardume ezov, who did tashmishe in mitzvah ninu? Those are tashmishe mitzvah, and they were used for a kiyum a mitzvah, and they don't have inherent kedusha to them. Aval hacha, but by gardume ritzuos to tashmishe kedusha ninu, they serve as tashmishe kedusha. Lo, then they're not going to be kosher when the gardumim are not going to be kosher. When it's cut, it's not going to be kosher. Meaning there's a higher standard that we have for tashmishe kedusha that we don't have for tashmishe mitzvah. And as we said before, the geder of what's tashmishe kedusha and tashmishe mitzvah is as we defined it. But the gemara is medayik from the fact that we say that gardumim ritzuos are pasul milchal de islu shiura. So it sounds like there is some sort of shear for the ritzuos that hang down from the shal rosh beyond the knot. The kamash yurayu. How far down do the ritzuos have to hang? So amram bar chamra mishlakish ad etzpa tzreda. The shear is until an etzpa that the size of the etzpa that's somach to the thumb. So how much is that? Rav Kahana machvi kaf. Rav Kahana would show his fingers for the shear of the ritzuos. He would demonstrate how much a person is able to open up his fingers between the etzpa and the amma, between the second finger and the middle finger, that the space between them is the shear that they have to be, the length of the ritzua. Rav Ashi machvi pashut. He would show his fingers as much as a person is able to open up between his thumb and his index finger, that space, which is a much larger shear. Rabba katulu pashut v'shadilu. When he would put on tefillin, he would tie them on his head, and whatever extra ritzuos that after the kesher, he would fold over and keep them behind his shoulder. Rav Acha bar Yaakov katulu umatlas lehu. He would tie the tefillin and he would like braid up the rest of the ritzuos. Mar braid Ravana avid kedidan, but Mar braid Ravna did like we do, that he put the ritzuos in front of him, hanging down in front of him after he put on the shal rosh. Amar avida braid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei de Rav kesher shel tefillin alach l'moshe misinai. The kesher of the tefillin is alach l'moshe misinai. Amar Rav Nachman ben Noyein levar. The noy of the kesher, the beauty of the kesher, is where you could see the letter dalit should appear to the outside. Rav Ashi Avi Yosef Kaveh de Mar Zutra is hapchalei ritzua de tefillin. He saw the tefillin shal rosh flipped over. So Amalei lo sav lamar v'noyel levar. Don't you hold the beautiful part of the dalit should be nicker on the outside? So Amalei lavadaitai. Oh, I didn't realize that it had flipped around. V'ro kalamei arts kishem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. Everyone's going to see that Shem Hashem is nikra alecha, and then they'll be fearful of us. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Gadolomer elu tefillin shal rosh. That's a reference to tefillin shal rosh. Vasirosi is copy for the Isa Sachorai. Amar Rav Chanan bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Malami Charlo Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Kesher Shel Tefillin. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Kesher of his Tefillin Shel Rosh behind the neck. Amar Rav Yehuda Kesher Shel Tefillin Tzarich Shei LeMaila Kedei She Yisrael LeMaila VeLo LeMata. The Kesher Shel Tefillin should be on the higher part of the head, not down below on the neck. It should be on the head itself as an indication that Klal Yisrael should always be LeMaila. V'Tzarich Shei Klapei Penim, and it has to be directly in the middle, connected where the inside is. It shouldn't be off to the side of the head. Kadeshu Yisrael lefnim v'lo la'achar, so that Klal Yisrael, as a symbolic of the fact that Klal Yisrael should always be on the inside, we should always have the inside track. We shouldn't be left behind. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Shmuel. well. Everyone have a wonderful day.